It's amazing how you get used to things. We moved the pulpit back yesterday after the flower festival, Bob Hines and I did, and it's about 3 inches off. And when I walked up, I was just a little discombobulated a bit. I'll fix that later. No, I'm not that bad, I don't think. There's a story of a store manager who overheard his clerk tell a customer, "No, ma'am, we haven't had any for a while, and it doesn't look like we're going to get some anytime soon." Horrified, the manager came running over to the customer and says, "Of course we have some, we'll have some soon, and we'll place an order for it to be here next week." Then the manager took the clerk to the side and he says, "Never, never tell a customer that we don't have something. Say we've got it on order and it's coming." Now, what was it that the customer wanted? The clerk looked at the manager and said, "Rain." Sometimes it's easy to jump into a situation without understanding the full story of what's going on. Peter was like that from time to time. He would jump right into it without understanding what was even getting into. It didn't mean that he didn't mean well, but even when we mean well, it can be the wrong thing to do. Such was the case in our gospel reading today. Peter was so caught up in this excitement of the moment and the splendor of this experience that he was missing the obvious until God showed up. It had been about 6 days since Peter had acknowledged who Jesus was. Remember that Jesus was asking the disciples, "Who do the people say I am?" And then he asked Peter, "Who do you say I am?" Or to the disciples, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter said, "You're the Christ." Now, it was only God who could reveal that to Peter. That was a revelation given to him. And then shortly after that, Jesus is explaining what must take place about his crucifixion, his death, and how he must die. And Peter jumps into there and says, "Not on my watch, you're not." That's the Chuck Mann translation. Jesus turns and looks at Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan." You see, Peter was this man of action. He usually spoke out first before thinking, and sometimes that got him in trouble. Have you ever been like that? You just want to jump in there and do something without thinking it through before you do it? At this stage of Peter's ministry, he was a work in process. He was learning, and there was a lot of issues inside Peter that he would come to learn. He was kind of like the spiritual roller coaster, trying to take all these experiences in, but one minute he's praised and honored, and the next minute he's rebuked. And then we come to today's reading. Jesus takes 3 of his disciples on this little mountain hike. And there are the two brothers, James and John, and Peter, who went with him. These were 3 of the disciples that were closest to Jesus. They had a unique friendship. Maybe it was because they had this boldness about them, the sons of thunder and Peter. And maybe Jesus just wanted to harness that energy. Whatever the reason, Jesus reveals to them on various occasions special insights to who he was and what was to take place. And this was one of those times. It was in my estimation, one of the most powerful accounts in Scripture. Now, we can look at a lot of powerful passages reading through the Bible. But the unique thing about this one is that God is revealed in the person of Jesus. Now, think about this event. Put yourself in one of these 3 guys' sandals. What would you do if you were your teacher, Jesus, and suddenly he changes in front of you? This isn't some sort of reflection of light. The correct Greek word here is the root word that we get metamorphosis from. He changed from within. His face shone like the sun. His clothes were as bright as white. And the glory of who he is, the very essence of who Christ is being revealed. How would you react? But it doesn't stop there. 2 more people show up. Moses, the lawgiver, and Elijah, the prophet. Now you have not only the glory of Christ revealed, but you have the main men in the bread that represent everything Christ fulfilled in your company. Here is Moses and Elijah, two major representatives of everything in the Old Testament that represents God's word given to us in the law and the power of the word given to the people by the Holy Spirit through the prophets. And they are alive. They're there. And here they are in the presence of Jesus. Scripture tells us that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. How would you react to all of this? I'd be shaking in my boots, probably. Would you be terrified? Would you be like Peter? Lord, can I build three monuments here? It's what I refer to in the New Testament version of a selfie. He wanted the spot remembered. He wanted to remember this forever. So he wanted to build monuments. He didn't have cameras. He wanted to build a monument to remember it. What an honor for these guys to see this. I read that the miracle of the transfiguration is not that Jesus changed like he did, but is the fact that he could keep from being seen as he truly is. That is, his human state. Because who he really is what they saw. But there is more to this than just what they are seeing. God wanted something else revealed, and that is when something else happens. That is when they are engulfed in this cloud, and then they hear the voice of God. This is my son, who I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. That's what the Father wants them to get out of this. Listen to him. Listen to the one who will bring salvation. Listen to the one who will direct you in the way of truth. Listen to the one who will enable you to carry out my purpose in your life. Listen to him. As the Father revealed himself to Christ at his baptism, he now reveals himself to James, John, and Peter. The fullness of Jesus as perfect man and God incarnate. As they went down the mountain, they were instructed not to tell anyone what they had seen until he was raised from the dead. Everything now points directly to Christ. Peter is getting all caught up on the moment, and then God intervenes. Yes, it's a good to be here. Yes, there is a message here being with the presence of Moses and Elijah. But the message God is giving is not that this just one great awesome moment. The message is God wants them to really grasp that this is my son. Don't worry about what's happened. Don't worry about what's going to happen. Don't argue among yourselves. Just listen to him. He will reveal more to you. He will pave the way in your life. He is going to reveal God's truth to you. So many times we're caught up in the moment of whatever we're going through. We forget the one whom we are serving. You have to listen to him. You see, these three guys had a mountaintop experience. They saw the majesty and the glory of God. But kind of the sad thing is, they had to come down from that mountain. And what was waiting for them was the reality of the fallen condition. As soon as they got down there was another object lesson they had to face. And then another. They're going to have to listen to Jesus to get through those. And we have mountaintop experiences as well. When many of us come to Christ, we are really excited, aren't we? I remember when I gave my life to Christ, I was so excited. I wanted to go out and save the world. I had my Bible up under my arm. Wherever I went, it was going to be there with me. I remember getting onto a plane to go visit my brother, who was in seminary at the time, up at Neshota House. And I had my Bible under my arm. And I sat down in the window seat that I wanted, opened up my Bible, and started reading it. And a guy sat down next to me, and he asked me, "Are you a believer?" I said, "Yes, I get to witness to somebody." And I said, "Yes, I am." He goes, "Well, so am I." And then he asked the question, "How often do you read the word?" Well, now I got an answer. "What has it been saying to you lately?" Now I got to answer another question. Suddenly, I'm the one being witnessed to at this time. Personally, I don't think we should ever lose that excitement or enthusiasm for the Lord. However, we should be more guided by the Spirit in our actions. Mountaintop experiences are wonderful, whether it is through worship or through prayer. Just resting in His presence, even. But then we must come down from that mountain and face the world again. Some people in the world may go to work tomorrow and may be feeling really great about the church experience that they had today and the sermon that they heard wherever they went to church. But then they learn that today they're going to lose their job. Some may get a letter from the mortgage company that they're going to be foreclosed on. Some may get word that a relative is now terminally ill. There'll be life issues that we all face. Some will challenge us. Some will help us grow. Some will put us in a position to bring hope to a troubled world around us. We need to be people who, when trouble comes our way, we know who our Redeemer is and know where our strength comes from. We know because we listen to Him. And folks, that listening only comes through prayer and study of His revealed word given to us. It's vital in our relationship with Christ. It's an opportunity for us to really hear God speaking to us with that still small voice from within. I can't tell you how many times that just sitting and listening through prayer that God has nudged me to go do something, call someone, see someone, go pray with someone. I woke up Thursday night. I couldn't go back to sleep, even though I was under the influence of NyQuil. And when that happens to me, I know I need to pray. So I started praying, and it started coming to me a subject of an article that I have to write. And I knew it just started rolling off to me. And when I finished, I went to sleep. I didn't write it. I just know what it has to be. You see, He wants to be interactive in our lives. He wants to speak to us. And when you read His word and see so many accounts of His hand being on His people and guiding His people and doing those things through His people, do you think He wants any less from us? Scripture is our plumb line for life. It is a manual for life given to us by God, to guide us, to sustain us, and nourish us. It's a love letter from God, telling us how much He loves us and how much He wants to be a part of our lives if we let Him in. It should go hand in hand with our prayer life as we confirm what God is saying to us. God will never do something that is contradictory to His word given to us. And God also speaks to us through fellowship with others. That's why staying in fellowship is so important. And we are called to be a body for a reason. We hold on to one another when we hurt. We offer prayerful counsel when it's sought. We pray for one another. Sometimes in times of trouble or despair, our focus can become clouded by the issues. So we need each other. All of these and more are ways that we can listen. But there's another important component to all this that makes all of what I've said thus far come together. There is a reason, I believe, that Jesus said to these three men, "Don't tell anyone until He was raised from the dead." Peter makes that component clear in our epistle reading that we heard today. From his second letter, Peter tells us that this is no myth, that there was seen, there was no dream that what they saw. This was no scheme. We saw what took place on that mountain. It reinforced their faith. We saw the majesty upon that mountain. We heard the voice of God tell us that this is my son. But you see, here's the difference. Not only did they have the experience of witnessing this wonderful event. But after Jesus rose, they also experienced a new life in Christ as they received him into their lives after he rose from the dead. And they received him into their hearts. And at Pentecost, they experienced the power of the Spirit of God fall upon them. And he and other disciples had a radical change from the inside out. And that change that takes place in each of us comes from the inside out. Just as Jesus was revealed from the inside out, he is now in us and revealing through us from the inside out. That is where it comes alive in us. But then we need to act on it. We can't sit on it. We have a choice, but we need to act on it. And then when we come down from those mountaintop experiences, God by his Spirit will walk us through this world that he has us in to be used by him. Are we willing to listen? Are we willing to follow him? God is offering each of us something very special. It's just as special as what Peter and John and James saw on that mountain. He desires each of us to listen and to do what he has for us to do as we walk out our journey with him. When we allow the Spirit of God to change us from the inside out, allow him to strengthen you. Allow him to fill you with his presence and see what he will do through you. May we pray. Heavenly Father, you are such a wonderful God. We thank you, Father, for all that you have done and revealed to us through your word. We thank you what you have revealed to James, John, and Peter. We thank you, Father, that we have that same experience in you, the reality of who you are as we invite you into our lives. So, Father, if there's anybody here today who's never received you, who's never said, Lord, I repent of my sins. I come to you and I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Allow that to happen now, Lord. Allow them to experience from the inside the reality of who you are. And may we express that outside as we go out into the world, Lord. Father, I just pray for each and every person here that you would continue to build us up into the persons that you have called us to be. To be excited about you, Lord, and all that you are doing and want to continue to do through your body. I ask, Father, that you ignite your church throughout this community as we come together as one body under Christ to do the work you have called us in this community. And that's to be a witness to you and to listen to you and to be used by you. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for what you want us to do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.